With the new year upon us, there's no better time to take control of your finances. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, off and running on this Friday morning. Welcome in. Gordon Damer with you here on The Fan. Your overnight oasis with you for the next 5 hours. The number, of course, you know, 888-808-1019. You can hit me up on Twitter, at Gordon Damer. Lots to get into in the course of these 5 hours. But the main thing I want to get across to you, and this is not going to be easy on your part, and it is, I want to allow all of those out in the listening audience the chance to say, I'm sorry. Sorry to David Stearns, and to a lesser extent, sorry to Steve Cohen for doubting, for allowing the losses of some of your favorite homegrown players to completely break your brains. Now, I don't have to do that, but a lot of you out there do. And I would like to allow you the next 5 hours, 888-808-1019, to come on, make your calls, and to fall on the sword, to admit you got it wrong. Because there are a lot of Met fans, not all, but a majority of Met fans who approach this offseason as if the worst possible thing had happened. And you just think back. This is not, I'm not asking you to go back 6 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago. I get it. All the years at a certain age start to run together after a while. But this offseason, basically like a month ago, you heard the calls. Maybe you made the calls. David Stearns has got no plan. Oh my God. This guy, David Stearns, is a moron. This guy thinks he's a genius. He's actually an idiot. The Mets are not going to make any big moves this offseason. There is no plan. He's going to run this just like Milwaukee. They're going to have a small... That's why he was brought here, to run the Mets like the Milwaukee Brewers. David Stearns, for a couple of weeks there, overtook Brian Cashman as the most hated executive in this town. Cashman's back on top. But still, David Stearns was the worst thing that ever happened to New York Mets baseball. And why was he? Because not only traded away Brandon Nimmo, allowed Edwin Diaz to leave for the Dodgers, which is still a bad one, still the biggest thing he got wrong this offseason. Allowed Pete Alonso to walk. Oh, my God. The Mets, Pete Alonso left. He didn't even offer him a contract. This is the worst thing. David Stearns is the worst thing that has ever happened to New York Mets baseball. I heard the calls. You heard the calls. Some of you made the calls. And at the time, when it happened, the Pete Alonso one, I told you, guys, be prepared for it. I told you before it happened. And it's not like I was, you know, Oz the Mentalist, or whatever. Is it Oz the Mentalist? Oz the Mentalist? I'm not sure. It was pretty well telegraphed that Pete Alonso was not going to be back unless the owner stepped in again and forced the GM to offer him a contract. That was not a surprise. But when those moves happened, basically it seemed like within a week and a half of each other, Met fans, it broke their brains. And it wasn't just David Stearns that they were complaining. Oh, no. Steve Cohen started catching some shrapnel as well. Steve Cohen, all he cares about now is that casino. He's not going to spend any more money on the team. In fact, there was a report, Steve Cohen's not even really a Met fan. He's much more of an NBA fan. Actually, people say he grew up as a Yankee fan. He's not even a real Met fan. But I think the one, for me at least, and if you said these words out loud, you deserve to fall on the sword and call up at 888-808-1019 and apologize for being this wrong. But if you're one of those Met fans who shouted out, the Mets were better off when they were being run by the Wilpons, and you know who you are, you'll deny it now, you'll delete the tweets and all that, get rid of the evidence. If you actually believe that, then you are out of your mind. And for a little while there, it felt like Mets fans had David Stern's derangement syndrome. DSDS. It was sweeping Flushing. And then I think the last time I was on was the night that the Kyle Tucker thing went down. And then it kicked into high gear. Oh, my God. They lost that on Kyle Tucker as well. But then what did they do? Did they decide, you know what? We'll get him next year. You know what? We are going to run this like Milwaukee. You know what? We're not going to spend any money. No. They went out and put a baseball team together. Now, look, it's fair. You might not like the plan. There's aspects of the things the Mets have done this offseason I like. There's some aspects that I don't like. And I judge them on a case-by-case basis. But what you can't say, what makes absolutely no sense, was that the Mets weren't going to add pieces to the roster, weren't going to go out and spend money, weren't going to still have one of the highest payrolls in baseball. There was no evidence anywhere to believe any of that was true. So after they lose out on Kyle Tucker, they pivot. Now, was that a bit of a panic? Well, yeah, I think they did panic a bit because they see players, they see talent going off the board. There wasn't that much talent left in free agency. It didn't really fill a need, per se, playing him at third base, a position he's never played before in an offseason where your GM has talked about run prevention. Got a third baseman who's never played third base, a first baseman who's never played first base. But still, it's adding talent. It's adding what's available to you. He is a good, solid player who you're paying a very high number to for one season. Maybe longer, but more than likely one season. And then this week they go out, they add Luis Robert Jr. in the trade with the White Sox. And then finally, the biggest piece of the whole offseason, because the biggest issue last year in terms of the talent was the rotation, they go out and add Freddy Peralta. So Met fans, you've started, now I would think that they're largely done in acquiring talent. But for a lot of the offseason, people were wondering, and some said that there was no plan, what is the plan for David Stearns to build a team? I think you've now seen how he would like to build a team. And some of this was already obvious from his time in Milwaukee. He likes players who have multi-position availability. He doesn't like paying high, exorbitant prices for starting pitching. And he's not going to lock himself into long-term deals with good players while paying them like they're great players. And those are not really outrageous things to think, and not outrageous things to put into practice if you're the GM of the team.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Now, I would not say that the Mets have closed the gap on the Dodgers to a huge degree. I don't think anybody's closed the gap on the Dodgers to a great degree. But in terms of what this offseason's goals were, this is what you want to see. And the goal of this offseason, after what happened last year in the regular season, this had to be the offseason where Steve Cohen kind of took a step back and allowed David Stearns to build the team that he wanted to build. And that's what he's gone about doing. And it's clearly on paper, and can't play the games on paper, this should be a playoff team. This should be a better all-around team than last year. God, let's hope so. You're spending as much money as you are, which was obvious the Mets were going to continue to spend money. Now, there was not a player on the market really outside of Tucker who could have come anywhere close to what Soto was getting in terms of years. But they were in on Kyle Tucker. Their plan A, I mean, I don't know what this plan A, but their previous plan before Bichette was to sign Kyle Tucker. So they were in on the most expensive item this offseason in terms of yearly salary. So maybe Met fans can now take a little breath, realize it's going to be okay, realize Steve Cohen is still going to spend money, realize that the Mets are still going to have a very high payroll, and hope that the way they are building this has a better present and a long-term future. Again, David Stearns likes to build things where he's not getting locked into any one player unless it's a great player. Now, these things happen. The Lindor contract happened before he got here, but that's a contract that I would not be surprised if David Stearns would have no problem with, because Lindor is a premier talent. And even though he was here for Soto's contract, that's one that he doesn't get credit for, but he was on board for that one as well. Those are the type of players that he would sign to long-term contracts. But this is the way that he would go about building a team. He's not going to run it like he ran it in Milwaukee. He's going to adapt, and that's exactly what he's done. And I would say, when you took a look at the offseason and the pitching aspect of it, because that was the big question, when pitchers were going off the board, is he going to pivot? Out of the options that were available in free agency this year, you could make a solid argument that Freddie Peralta is the best of the options. Because A, you get him for a year, which I think Met fans, oh, this is only going to be a rental. We paid such a high price. Maybe it's a rental. But the Mets have the resources. They still have unlimited resources. The market didn't tank. This is not, a situation where Steve Cohen's money all dried up. He got caught in a Ponzi scheme. That was the previous owner. The previous owner got caught in the Ponzi, not Steve Cohen. Okay? So if Freddie Peralta comes in here and is not what you expected, is not what he was last year where he finished, I think, fifth in the Cy Young voting in the National League, or he's not the strikeout guy, he's not the guy to lead your rotation. Well, maybe it is a one-year deal. But if he comes here and pitches like he has pitched in his career, and David Stern certainly has a pretty good connection from his time in Milwaukee, made the trade to bring in Freddie Peralta at the time, and he goes out there and pitches to an ERA plus of 120, 130, somewhere along those lines, strikes out the way he strikes out batters, and throws his 175 innings, and can lead a rotation, and more importantly, get into the sixth and seventh inning on a fairly regular basis, I would not be surprised if this is longer than a one-year deal. Again, the Mets have unlimited resources. And the other part of this that I like is that it is a one-year contract. Guys on contract years generally, not always, but generally overperform. They're looking for that big payday. Now, it's going to be a weird offseason next year because it almost certainly is going to be a lockout, and who knows how, if that takes up the whole season, if it takes up half the season, I don't know how that's going to play out. But generally, I like getting guys on contract years because they generally overperform. Not always, but I'm willing to make that bet. David Stearns is willing to make that bet. And after this season, assuming that baseball resumes at some point, the big ticket item that's going to be available, either before next season comes around or in the offseason of the 2026 going into 2027, is Tarek Skubal. And given the fact that the Mets have unlimited resources, given the fact that there aren't that many teams that can really compete at that level for that type of talent and won't try to compete at that level for that kind of talent, I'm not going to tell you the Mets are the favorites because the Dodgers still exist. I'm assuming in 2027, if we have baseball, the Dodgers will not be disbanded because of their payroll. They're not going to contract the LA Dodgers, I don't think. So the Dodgers are going to always be the favorite for any free agent. And if Tarek Skubal reaches free agency, Well, then you'd have to, if you're a betting man, if you're going on your apps, you'd have to kind of expect that that would be the team that would be the favorite. But the Mets are going to be right there. The Mets are going to be in the running. And what other teams will be? What other teams will be? Even if the current system stays in place, you think the Yankees are going to go spend $300 million on a pitcher? You think the Red Sox are going to go spend $300 million on a pitcher? And it's probably going to be more than that, right? The Mets are fine. They're building something. Now, is it a finished product? No. And I think that that's why you see the type of deals that David Stearns is putting in place. If he can find a short-term option that he likes, because there's no long-term options that he loves, that's the way he's going to approach it. And he's not got you locked into anything. You're not going to be bogged down with some contract that you don't like 5 years from now. So a lot of Met fans, the ones that were panicking, the ones that were giving up season tickets. I'm never going to watch this team again because they didn't bring back Pete Alonso. Can we just admit you got a little carried away? You got a little over your skis. And all of a sudden, now that we're starting to, and I said to you at the time, let's see what the moves that are going to, nah, there's not going to be any moves. It's like talking to my kids. Ah, nothing's going to happen. They're not going to make any deals. They're not going to sign anybody. They're not going to spend any money. Steve Cohen, all he cares about is casino. I think he cares about the Mets, too. I don't know the man personally, but I'm going to guess when you spend as much as you do for a baseball team, even maybe if you didn't grow up rooting for that team, you're rooting for them after you purchase them. So the Mets, they've made their moves this offseason. They should be a playoff team, and they are on much better footing moving forward based on the moves made by David Stearns. I know you have sworn off him. I know that you look at him and you just, oh, that team is, ah. You hate him. You got a voodoo doll that you're sticking pins in. I get it. But it's time to give him a little bit of credit. A little bit of credit for putting together a plan this offseason and carrying out that plan. Now, has it been perfect? No. They wanted to get Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker was not interested in playing for the, he was more interested in playing for the Dodgers. And who could really blame him? Who could really blame him? The Edwin Diaz thing? That's a miss. That's on Stearns. Should have been able to land Edwin Diaz. And I really feel a whole lot better if the Mets' back of the bullpen was Devin Williams and Edwin Diaz as opposed to Devin Williams and Luke Wade. I mean, that would be even a better offseason. But they've gone about fixing the problems that they saw last year. They didn't have, they had a guy in left field who was getting paid for forever, who was declining in skill. They had a first baseman they didn't want to lock up for 5 years because they know he's a one-trick pony in terms of his skill base. And I don't know, I'm not in the Met clubhouse, but it seems pretty clear by the reports that there was some sort of issue in that clubhouse last year. And if the Mets accomplished nothing else, now they accomplished this before this past week, it was about clearing up whatever that clubhouse issue was between the personalities involved, and now they can move forward with a different group, a different core, and one hopefully that can have more sustained success on a regular basis than the one that they just broke up. 888-808-1019, the telephone number, 888-808-1019. Let's start things off here. We'll start off with Jay as in Woodmere. Jay, first up on the Fan.
Hey, I really love you. You're a great host.
Oh, thank you, Jay. I love you too.
I just want to say that right now the Mets gave up a ton for Freddie Peralta, and they're going to have him for 1 year.
Uh-huh.
Luis Robert hasn't been a decent hitter in 2 years since 2023.
Luis Robert, okay.
That's also a rental. I mean, they're paying him to opt out after this year.
Right.
And Brandon Sproat and Jet Williams could be up for the Brewers in the postseason this year, beating the Mets. Brandon Sproat could have a Cam Schlittler, Trey Savage type postseason game and beat the Mets. And what are you all going to say about David Stearns then?
Well, look, Jay, at the end of the day, this is about the long term, and this is about one thing. This is about the Mets winning a World Series. Do I think that the moves that they put in place this year signify that they're on the cusp of winning? No, I don't. But Rome wasn't built in a day. Like, it's going to take more than one offseason. I think that the transformation that David Stearns has made to this team in one season is pretty significant. And I don't think that all of these pieces are long-term pieces. I don't think that Marcus Semien is a long-term piece. I don't think that maybe Polanco really is a long-term piece. But it's a better position team. The strength of a lineup, especially when you get into the postseason, is it's counter to what the weakest link is, right? Like, everybody has stars if you get into a postseason. But if your stars are your 4, 5, 6 hitters and then 7, 8, 9, teams exploit those weaknesses. We've seen that time and time again. You have to be able to build a complete lineup where maybe not every single guy is great, but everybody is good. Everybody is solid. And look, the Mets do have some guys who are great. Francisco Lindor is a superstar shortstop. Juan Soto is a superstar player. So they still have those guys. And I think clearly this puts the Mets on better footing for the upcoming season. If for no other reason, getting Freddy Peralta. And did you give up a lot to get Freddy Peralta? Yeah. You have to give up something to get a good player. And here's the thing that is the fallback when it comes to the New York Mets. Let's say Jet Williams turns out to be a superstar. Let's say he turns out to be even better than Pete Crow Armstrong was for parts of last season. He's, what, 21 right now? He'll play at 22 next season? In the next couple of years, he'll get up, he'll start performing, and somewhere down the road, he'll be a free agent. Now, it's still a few years away, but even if he's controlled for, what, 6 years? He will eventually become a free agent as he's hitting his prime. If the Mets want to bring him back at that point, they will be able to. They have unlimited resources. That's a major key. It's great to be smart. It's great to be well-run. It's great to be all these things. But the resources thing, boy, that patches up a lot of holes. And again, I'm not telling you the Mets are perfect. I'm not telling you the Mets are going to win the World Series this year. But a lot of you guys were making it out like worst-case scenario. And that's just not fair. That's just not, I mean, that was never based in reality. There was never a report from any baseball insider saying, you know what, the Mets are going to drastically cut payroll. But that's the way you guys were acting. Day in, day out. And I get it, you love Pete Alonso. Oh my God, do you guys love Pete Alonso? You got to let go of the Pete Alonso thing. You got to let go of the Pete Alonso thing. He's gone. He's not coming back. He was a great Met. You loved him. I get it. But there's new Mets now. And it's about doing things a new way. You know, it would be one thing if the core of the Mets that they broke up had this great track record. They didn't. They had some great individual performances that you loved. All right, fine. There are homegrown guys, and you don't have a whole lot of homegrown guys. How about getting some winning guys? How about getting some teams that are consistently in the playoffs? That should be the goal. That's the next goal for the Mets. Year in, year out, I know the Mets are going to be in the playoffs. That should be the goal. That has not been the result here since David Stearns, and certainly way before David Stearns got here. But the reason why you brought this guy in is because he can build those kind of teams. So that should be the goal, and I think that they are on far more solid footing. Now, when they didn't have an ace pitcher or they didn't have talent being added to the roster, you were right to gripe. When the whole offseason was guys leaving and nobody coming, all right, fine. But the way that people, I mean, it like broke your brains. They're not going to add anybody. There is no plan. I took repeated calls. There is no plan. They're not going to add anybody. There was no evidence of that. That didn't make any sense at any time. 888-808-1019. So again, our first caller did not take the opportunity to apologize to David Stearns. He did profess his love to me, which that kind of gets me. I like that. Anybody who tells me they love me, I'm a sucker for that. I like people who like me. That was my problem when I was dating. Only like people who like me. You didn't like me? All right, I'm not into you. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Tom is in Queens. Tom, next up on the Fan.
Hey, you, my man.
Hey, Tom.
Hey. I just think that last year, after last year's season, and just honestly just like seeing it, I think David Stearns did a great job. I think he needed to break up the core. And I said, I like Pete Alonso. I really like Brandon Nimmo. I even like Jeff McNeil, but that's not whatever. But it wasn't working. Like the clubhouse, it just seemed like stale. The team just didn't look. They just didn't really look good. I think he did a great job. He got a lot of young guys. It gives us room. He has people on 1 year deals, which allows us to have our young prospects to, if they need to come up. I think people are going to be very surprised with the job that David Stearns did, because you can't really just expect to do the same exact thing. And, you know, because I think it's better. You needed somebody to come in and say, look, you need to be like objective about it and say, this is not working. And you can't really rely on what the fans believe. So I think people are going to be very surprised, and I think they're going to be very happy with this year. I think the Mets are going to be good.
Yeah, look, Tom, they better be, right? I mean, missing the playoffs last year was a fiasco. Spending the second most money in baseball and not even making the playoffs when he had to win 84 games and really didn't. It was holding off the Cincinnati Reds, which you weren't able to do. That's a disaster. That was a disastrous year. And I've said this before, but it's true. Like the first year David Stearns was here, or the previous season, he probably was a little reluctant to make major changes and just start busting it up, because the team had been, you know, went on a playoff run, had this magical season, get to the NLCS. So just put yourself in his shoes, right? Let's see if we can make this core work. But with the way that last season went, and I'm not in the clubhouse, but it seems from all the reports, there were issues there between players. This was the time to break it down. And sometimes, you know, you can't just patchwork. I think a lot of Met fans thought, well, we didn't have any pitching last year, so we'll just add some pitchers and we'll just go spend some more money, and that will get us over the hump. The goal is not simply just to make the playoffs. It's to build something long term. And sometimes you have to kind of tear a wall down to make an improvement in the house. That's the way David Stearns went about it this offseason. He was not going to have another offseason where he just simply went along with guys that were already here because they were fan favorites. And that's what you should want your GM. You want your GM to be a calculated, cold guy who's just has one goal in mind. Put the best team on the field as possible. Construct the best lineup. Construct the best roster. Now, is it a finished product? No. And I do think that David Stearns is using free agency as a way to kind of stopgap some areas of concern, and that the Mets aren't going to be at their full capabilities until they're regularly producing their own players. Guys getting called up and making the majors, and that's where the real talent base will come from. Now, will they still add from free? Absolutely. Unfortunately, next year's free agency, if there is an offseason, doesn't look all that promising. Like, the biggest free agent is Jazz Chisholm. So it's not a great free agent class next year. But the Mets are going to operate in a very smart fashion. And it's funny that for all the Met fans, and again, second call, did not apologize. Again, guys, we're taking your apologies. You can apologize to David Stern. It's almost like that moment in the Superman where you kneel before Zod. You should come and now kneel before Stearns. Profess your embarrassment that you doubted him, and now he has put together the team that is going to get you back on the right track. And again, is the goal the world's? I don't know. Doesn't seem like you could take the other 29 teams and put a team together to beat the Dodgers, and you would still have a hard time doing it. I'm waiting for the Dodgers to just go out and get Scooble right now. Why waste time? Just, if you're going to be the villain, be the villain. Just go do it. Go out with a bang before 2027. Oh, my God. Could you imagine how fans will react to that? They go out and get Scooble as well. But the Mets are in a better place now than they were. And it would be one thing if the Met fan has had like this prolonged success, like they were great year, like they were back in the 80s, but that's a long time ago now. Long time ago. So I think that you should take the opportunity. Next 5 hours, we'll continue to take your calls, 888-808-1019. And look, you weren't shy about making the calls killing Stearns. You weren't shy saying he had no plan, they weren't going to sign anybody, all this stuff. You know, you were better off when the Wilpons ran the team. Come on. Outrageous. So I think that if you are a man, if you are an adult, sorry is this, what is it, Elton John? Sorry seems to be the hardest word. 888-808-1019. Gordon Damer, coming up. We'll get more of your phone calls involved. We'll hit on the Yankees who finally got Cody Bell. Oh my God, they finally captured him. The big offseason plan is complete. It's one guy. So we'll get into the Yankees. We'll have a lot to do as we take you up until 5 o'clock. 888-808-1019. It is Gordon Damer with you here on The Fan.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.